Okay. Hello and welcome to the No More Shame Show. Today we have with us Holly, who's a very good friend of mine that I met 5 or 6 years ago in England. So I'm going to turn the time over to her to go ahead and share a little bit about her and why she's here today.
Hi, I'm Holly. And like Dylan said, we met on our missions in England. So it's been a while we've known each other. So today I am going to just talk about my kind of like my journey on mental health and the experiences that I've had with that. And so I before my mission, I think this is back in maybe about 2013, I would say. This has been a long time. I started just kind of feeling different. There was something about my mood and the way that I would respond to different situations and just kind of how I felt in general that I just knew was very different to how I normally used to feel, but I just wasn't really sure kind of like what it was or anything like that. So I kind of just thought, well, maybe I'm just being a teenager and that's all it is. I'm just this like moody teenager that is always sad. And I just kind of went through the motions. I went on my mission and still kind of felt the same. It kind of intensified a little bit more, my mission, I'd have to say. And I knew when I came home that I needed to look more into like why I was feeling the way that I did. I had moments of feeling a lot of kind of like heart palpitations. I would kind of feel like I couldn't really breathe very properly a lot of the time. And I would get really, really anxious in different situations, especially social settings. I was very, very good at putting on a brave face, thinking I was this really social person that just like loved being around people all the time. But inside, I just did not like it at all. And I would come back home like after different events or just even at the end of the day after a day on the mission, and I would just cry in the bathroom because I was just so overwhelmed with just how intense those feelings were. I didn't like confrontations. I would get very kind of feel very, very cornered up, and I'm the kind of person that doesn't like to disappoint people so much. And so whenever we would have discussions or just any kind of confrontation, I would just feel really, really down. And I would really, really reflect on that and think I was a terrible person. So I really beat myself up a lot. And I constantly felt like I wasn't good enough. And it was really kind of, it was very, very hard for me, that whole process over that 18 months. And even coming home from my mission, I remember having a lot of different experiences where even just at work, I struggled going to work. I would try and find every excuse to just not be able to go because I just didn't want to get out of bed. I didn't want to socialize. I didn't want to do anything. And I, you know, in my head, I'm thinking I have to go to work. Like, it's okay. It's just work. But I just knew there was just this part of me that just couldn't do it. And I would end up physically throwing up at the thought of having to go outside of the house. And that kind of just deteriorated with every single social setting as well. I did not want to go and socialize with people. I would make plans with people, but then I would just cancel those plans straight away. Like last minute, I'd be like, no, I can't go. I've got something else I have to do. Or I'm really sick, so I can't do that. Or whatever it might be. And you know, it got like really, really bad. And I came to that point where I thought, you know, this has to stop. I don't like how I feel about myself. I don't like how I see myself. I don't like that I can't feel normal, I guess. I would see just all these other people in my life that were able to just function. They could go out and be okay with going out, and they were able to go to work even if they were really tired. They could have relationships and friendships and just be able to do all these things that, you know, we're all entitled to have in our lives. But I just really struggled with all of those things. And so I remember praying a lot about what I should do. And I knew, okay, I've got to go and see a doctor. So I went to see a doctor, and we talked a lot about different options. And I basically just broke down to the doctor. I just cried for maybe about an hour before I actually got any words out. Because I had really kept all of this in. I hadn't even told my parents that I was going to see a doctor. And they ended up, she ended up just putting me on this like basic medication that they give you, like in England, they give you like a generalized anxiety medication for anxiety and depression. And they keep you on that for like 6 to 8 weeks and then they review it. And so for that 6 or 8 weeks, I was on that medication. And it did nothing for me. I got worse. I tried to function, but it got to a point where I didn't get out of bed. I would have major anxiety at the thought of doing anything. I really had to kind of psych myself up every single day to be able to function and feel a little bit of normality. I constantly, anytime I felt like I let somebody down or I didn't accomplish anything in my day, I just felt so awful about myself to the point where I was like, it's better that I'm just not even here. And I would just constantly think about ending my life. Like, it was pretty dark. I was very, very lost. And it was a very, very dark period in my life where I really, really was fighting with myself. There was a lot of internal conflict. And this medication just was not helping for me at all. And I was so confused with what was wrong. I just didn't know what was wrong with me. And I remember I would constantly just say to myself, why am I made this way? Like, what is wrong with me? So 6 weeks passed and I went back to the doctor and I just told them everything that I was feeling. And they ended up doing a lot of tests on me to try and kind of figure out. I saw a therapist and I saw another doctor as well, and we did a lot of a lot of different tests to try and kind of decipher what was wrong. And I was diagnosed with hypersensitive anxiety, which basically means that in pretty much all situations, my body paralyzes at the thought of doing normal tasks. Waking up in the morning, the idea of being able to like do normal things, my body can't do it, and so it will just paralyze, and I will get sick, and I will get nervous, and then I'll just kind of not do anything. I just kind of give up. And so it took a lot of training, I guess, to be able to get myself into a routine that was working for me. And so I started with, they kept me on the medication that I was on, but they just gave me a higher dosage, which started to help. I started to feel a little bit more normality. But even though I was kind of mentally feeling a little bit better in terms of emotions, I was pretty numb to like all emotions. I wouldn't laugh. I wouldn't cry. Nobody knew what was wrong with me, but I was able to at least function slightly. I tried to do more exercise. I had slower mornings to try and pace myself and not feel like, okay, I have to get out of bed and then do stuff. But it was more slowly get out of bed, then shower and get ready and things like that. I didn't work for maybe about 6 months, and it was a lot of just self-care. So I started writing a lot and doing a lot of exercise and just spending time with my family and just trying to, I guess, rehabilitate myself. And I would meet with my therapist quite often and just do a lot of different coping mechanisms to try and decipher if there was anything else that was maybe wrong with me. And then after about 8 months of doing that, we had like a review with my therapist, and we found that I was also diagnosed with borderline personality disorder as well. Which is a type of, it's similar to bipolar, but not in the sense of my moods kind of changing so vastly. My moods would kind of all just be the same, but feelings that I have are very, very intense for longer periods of time. I have issues with attachment and with just kind of relationships with people, in the sense of, for me, having that diagnosis when it comes to attachments is I don't attach very well to people. I'm very distant and I'm not as trusting with people. It takes a lot for people to kind of warm up to me before I can really trust. I wasn't really able to express myself very well. And so that's why I would kind of just keep my mood the same way, because being able to express myself, I was so scared of judgment and of other people's opinions that I would just kind of hold myself back. And that was kind of just the basis of it. I guess as soon as I was diagnosed with borderline personality disorder and was able to just understand more about what that was and how it affected me, I was actually able to function a lot more because I kind of was able to find my identity in a way. And I would be able to kind of see myself going into a certain phase and know, okay, I'm getting myself into feeling a certain way. How am I going to retract from feeling that way? And so there was a lot of conflict in the sense of I was fighting to find my happy place and not get stuck into this sad spot that I had always been in since I was like 15 years old. I just did a lot of work on myself. It meant a lot of the time that I was alone. And so I wrote down a lot of my thoughts, and that was a really big coping mechanism for me, is writing, because I was able to kind of escape into my own little world, where nobody could judge me. Nobody had an opinion on how I should be or what was right and what was wrong. But I could just be myself and be honest with myself. And that was a really good way of being able to cope. Instead of kind of reacting onto other people, I could react onto paper and be able to still establish those good relationships with people. And so now I've been diagnosed with hypersensitive anxiety and borderline personality disorder for a year and a half now. Yeah, it's been 18 months. And ever since being diagnosed, I've been the happiest that I've been, which is kind of ironic because for a lot of people, of experiences I've had with people that have had, that have a diagnose, they struggle with it a lot because they know what it is. So they feel like they label themselves as I have this. But for me, as I was able to really identify who I am, and it all just kind of made sense because for so long, I was just so confused. And now I'm able to make sense of why my brain thinks the way it is, or why I can't attach to people so well, or why I get anxious in social settings. It makes sense to me, and I've been able to find a way of being able to tackle it a lot more than how I used to, because I understand my diagnosis and how it works and how I function. And I've been able to do big things for myself. Like, if you had said to me back in like 2014 or even 2016 that I was going to be living in America in like 4 years' time, I probably would have thrown up a lot. I got really, really anxious and never left my bedroom. I'd be like, nope, I would have locked the door, padlocked it, and never ever returned out of my room. But here I am. I firstly moved to Denmark and lived there, and then hopped on a plane and during COVID and moved to Utah to start school, and I'm even further away from my family and from all of the things that are safe for me. But I've been able to do it a lot more, and since moving, everything, you know, mentally and emotionally has been better for me than it would have been if I had made that choice years and years ago. So yeah, I guess that's my story. It's kind of the experiences I've had with it.
I don't know if you noticed, but when you said that, when you started off, you said that you'd put on a big face. My eyes got really wide, because knowing you beforehand, you're right, you did really good at putting on a face, because I would have never guessed anything from knowing you, because you were always, you know, you were always happy, you were always talkative.
Mm-hmm.
And so to hear it, it's kind of like, whoa, like, yeah, you were good at putting on a face.
Mm-hmm.
So so being away from your family right now, has that, or I guess kind of going out on your own and traveling, has that helped in a way with all this, kind of with finding more of who you are and like tackling this? Or has it put a struggle, or has it put more of like a, what's the word, like a wall in front of you at all, or has it been good for you?
I guess it's been a mixture of the two. For so long, I've really depended on my family.
Mm-hmm.
They've been that support system. Anytime I felt like I can't do anything, my parents would just do it for me. And so I've not really kind of had that independence, I get, in an emotional, mental way, because they've always been there as that rock to just help me get up.
Yeah.
But ever since kind of moving and stepping back from that, it's definitely been better for me, because I've been able to say, okay, I can feel this way, but I can handle it on my own. And I mean, I've had just kind of the normal struggles of moving to a foreign country and needing to adjust to it, because I would have never thought that England and America were so different in cultures, but apparently it is. It's a lot different. And with COVID as well, it definitely is like giving me a lot. It restricts me in the sense of I have all these skills now in terms of wanting to socialize with people, and I want to use them, and now I can't. So
mm-hmm.
It has been discouraging in that way, of just the adjustment process of moving. But I've definitely appreciated this time to just be, to kind of step away from that big support network that I have, and to find that I'm able to do things on my own. I can do hard things. I don't need to have all of these other people around me to just do it for me. But I have that capability in myself, which I definitely needed. So that's boosted my self-confidence a lot, to
mm-hmm.
know that I'm capable of it.
That you can do things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
So on the days that you would wake up and kind of tell yourself, you know, I don't want to go to work, I can't do this, what was the thing that, I guess, motivated you? What was the one thing that would get you to get out of bed?
In terms of with work, I would have to just say to myself, you've got bills to pay. I'm just like, look, you're living the broke life as it is, working, you need to work. So I would like, it would just kind of be more superficial things that I would be like, okay, yeah, like I have bills to pay. I need to work, because I need to be able to do that. And I don't want that to be an added thing to make me sad.
Yeah.
Or I would think about my employer and be like, look, this person could have hired anybody, but they've chose me. I need to try and fulfill that duty that I have to do my job. And that also helped a lot. Mostly just not thinking about myself. that's what motivated me. It was even with I have bills to pay. At that time, it was I need to pay rent to my parents so that they can provide for the rest of our family. And so I took myself out of the equation a lot of the time to try and push myself.
So you'd kind of take that step back and see how, if you were to stay here, how it would affect everyone else.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's a hard thing to do. So, props to you.
Yeah, no, that was really hard. At first, I'd be like, I don't care about anyone else right now. Everyone else can suffer like I'm suffering. But then I thought, no, I need to try and at least feel good in some way. And if that's just making other people feel better, then it works for me, even if I still feel sad.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah. Well, way to look at others and not you for that. Because that's hard. So, so when you started doing therapy then, you said up to that point you had never, when you went to the doctors first, I guess, you had never told anybody. Once you had gone to the doctors and had at least the medication, did you tell anybody? Or did you wait till you had like your first diagnosis?
I told my parents. So my family,
okay.
Like my parents and my family, they were aware of it. They knew that, like, you know, my temper was just very all over the place. They knew there was just something wrong, and that it was past that point of just hormones, that there was just a lot more to it. So they were grateful that I did seek help. That helped a lot with therapy, because then they knew on the days that I had to go to therapy that if I wasn't wanting to get out of bed or anything, that they could push me out of bed. Which I was really appreciative of, because at that point I'd been struggling with this, not even knowing what was wrong. I didn't understand why I was feeling how I was. But secondly, I didn't have anybody. I chose to not tell anyone because I was ashamed, and I wasn't. Back then, I felt like mental health, no one liked to talk about it. If you said to somebody, I have anxiety, you're already blacklisted as a crazy person. And
really?
I mean, in some ways it kind of still is that way. There is still a stigma to it, but I was so, so scared of how other people would have viewed me that I didn't want to tell people. But when in my head, I was like, well, if I'm seeing somebody now, then they're going to be more proud of me because I'm getting that help. So they're not going to judge me as more. Because I was just so, so worried about, like, everyone else's opinion, especially my parents. I didn't want to let them down, and I felt like I had for so long. But, yeah, once I told them, it was a lot easier for me to even go to therapy.
Yeah. I find it, even with my own story, it was kind of like, it was nerve-wracking to think about telling anybody about what I was doing or, you know, what might be going on in my life. But then it was more surprising once I did to see, like, the love that people had for me, because it was kind of like they weren't upset, they weren't angry, they were just kind of like, we love you and how can we help?
Mm-hmm.
Is that kind of how it was for you as well?
Yeah, I was really surprised. I thought that maybe people would be more distant with me. I mean, I felt that with my siblings, unfortunately, because of how I was prior to even getting diagnosed or just seeking help, my relationship with them wasn't the best. It was very, I guess in a way I felt very alienated towards them just because of how I felt.
Yeah.
And so that relationship has been hard to kind of solidify again. But when it came to my parents, I became closer with them. I thought that maybe I would alienate them too, or just anybody that I would tell, but I found that they had a lot more respect for me to tell them something that was really hard for me that I'd been battling with, and I could share that with them, because before I would not tell them anything. They wouldn't know anything about me at all. Mm-hmm. So that was kind of like the stepping stone to being able to be more open with my parents about anything that was going on, and them just not being these two people that feed me and have let me have a roof over my head, but like they're genuinely my parents. So
yeah,
it was definitely an interesting experience, and it pushed me more to want to get more help, because I could see that they weren't unhappy with me at all.
Yeah.
Just a second. And it stops recording, so I want to make sure that it's still recording. Yeah, okay. We're still good.
I just didn't want that to... So it's interesting that you said once you were diagnosed, it kind of helped you.
Mm-hmm.
Because you even said it yourself that sometimes that label, if people put the label on themselves.
Yeah.
Oh, I have, you know, I'm bipolar, I'm depressed, I have an addiction. And that's kind of something that they kind of use against themselves sometimes. But for you, you use it in a positive way, which is pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
So what, I guess, kind of helped you to view that in a positive way rather than kind of being like, oh no, I have this?
I guess for me it was, for so long I just kind of lost who I was. I'd gone from being this person that was really extroverted. I loved being around people. I was really social and just, you know, always laughing and smiling and just being around people all the time and stuff like that. And then I got to that age of just, I don't know, it was like I woke up the next day and there was just something wrong. And everything just changed. And at that point, I had lost my identity so much that I was still trying to be my old self as much as I could, just to kind of save face. But I knew deep within that I just was not who I truly am.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd been searching for so long to find that. So when I was able to understand my emotions a little bit more, then I knew how I could find myself again, because I knew that, okay, I'm not the same person I was when I was 12 years old. I mean, nobody is.
Unfortunately.
I wish we still had those kind of, that kind of life. But I knew that I had matured a lot, but I can still be that extroverted Holly that I was back when I was 12. I can still be social and I can still be happy and have that good life. I just have to work hard to get that. But I know that it's possible now because I know what's wrong. And it's not so much that there's something wrong with me, it's just that I'm different to other people. We're all different in many different ways. And I think that it was definitely easier for me to find who I was and who I am now because I was able to get that diagnosis. Because then I could know how to tackle every day. And I think that that was just something that was so hard because I just didn't know. Even when I got my first diagnosis, I was still just like, there's something more. Like, it's not just that I get paralyzed with anxiety. Like, there is much more to it that's deeper. And I wasn't happy with that diagnosis at all. But once I got my second diagnosis, then I felt more content. I don't know what it was. There was just this peace that just rushed through me. Like, okay, the search is over now. Like, you can finally find who you are again and find what makes you happy after so long of not being happy.
Yeah. I love that you said that there's nothing wrong with you. You're just different, and everyone is. And I love that because I think people sometimes do put it in that light. It's like, oh,
mm-hmm.
There's something wrong with you because of this. And it's like, no, there really isn't anything wrong with us. We're just going through a struggle, and you have something else that you're going through, and it doesn't make...
Yeah.
Yeah. Last question, and that is, what advice would you give to somebody else who's going through the same situation as you have?
I would say be kind to yourself. I think that, you know, life is already hard as it is. And especially in this, you know, with just how the world is right now, it's even harder. And if you add having a mental illness on top of that, whether it's anxiety or depression or, you know, any of the others, it can be even harder for those people. And I think that being kind to yourself is just so important. Because you're already second-guessing yourself, you're already doubting how you feel all the time, you're already pushing people away or restricting yourselves from just being happy and those little things that you do for yourself is so important. I, you know, even today I struggle with, I have my bad days, and I, on those bad days, I will give myself extra credit. So, you know, if I tell myself that day that I have 5 hours of homework I need to do, but I only do two, instead of just saying to myself, well, you failed, Holly, because you didn't do 5 hours, I give myself extra credit for doing two, because it's better than not doing any at all and just staying in bed all day. And so I think that when we just look at the little things that we do, those little efforts, especially in those hard, when you're having those harder days, they are so important, because that's what's going to allow you to have better days. And I found that when I am kinder to myself, the days following are a lot easier. And so, yeah, just be kind to yourself, because life is hard and we just need to just try and be happy, even if it's just a little bit in the day, I guess. But yeah, if anyone has any more questions that they want to ask me, you can follow me on Instagram or just message me on Instagram and just ask me those questions. My Instagram handle is Holly of the North.
Well, I appreciate you coming today, Holly, and thank you for sharing your story with us.
Thanks for having me.
And remember, everyone, be kind to yourself. See ya.